Joining me right now is Rod Windsor. He is a partner with Blaney McMurtry. In the past, their firm has handled such cases as the Munich hijacking, the Air India bombing, the Air Canada Cincinnati fire, Egypt Air Cairo crash as well. Thank you for taking the time this afternoon, Mr. Windsor. I appreciate it very much.
Welcome.
Will this end up, and I know this is going to take a long time before any legal action is taken, that's for sure. Would you suggest that this will end up being a class action suit, or will they be individual suits?
Opinions on that may vary somewhat. My own view is strongly that these should not be done by class actions. On Air India, we had much greater problems that would have lent themselves to class action, but that was before they were permitted. But the reality is that these are very substantial claims, and they should be dealt with on an individual basis, and they can be dealt with fairly easily. The acknowledgement by the Iranian government clarifies the situation considerably, and we now have a pretty good idea of how the claim process will proceed.
Where will claims be made? In Canada, the Ukraine, Iran?
Each passenger has one of five choices. I should explain that because the crash was on an international flight, it is governed by an international convention, and that convention answers a whole bunch of questions, including yours, about where they can sue. But it sets out five possibilities. For most people who have any Canadian connection of substance, it will be either Canada or Ukraine, and I assume that they will prefer Canada for a number of reasons.
Well, Ukraine sits in a unique situation because not only did they lose citizens from their country, it's their airline.
That is correct, and that is why two of the five criteria under the convention point to Ukraine.
How do you go about obtaining compensation? Is it based on the age of the victims that died?
Well, first of all, you have to establish legal liability. Because this is under the convention, there are different rules than would apply to any other loss of life in Canada, so we follow those rules. In some respects, they help. In some respects, perhaps they do not. But once you get over that burden of proving that someone is responsible, and clearly the airline is legally responsible in this case. So once you get over that, then you...
The airline is responsible?
Absolutely. They are, under the convention, responsible up to a certain amount, regardless of fault. And then if the damages exceed that amount, which they will in this case, they have the option of trying to deflect some of the responsibility to other parties. I don't think that will be successful in this case. I think it's quite clear that the airline does share some of the responsibility.
Because it was their airline?
No, that's what makes them absolutely liable for the first level of compensation. But I think it was a clear error in judgment to be flying. This is not just in some cases we have the previous Ukraine one, which involved a Malaysian airliner, which was shot down over Ukraine. That was in a known area of conflict, and most airlines had the stayed clear of it. This was much worse. We had active hostility. We had credible threats from two significant military powers. Missiles had been shot within hours, and I think it was clearly a very serious error in judgment to be flying at all.
Would they not have been afforded clearance by the airport?
They would, and they were, and that is true, and they were not the airline flying. That does not excuse it, in my view.
Okay. Will they receive compensation in a timely manner, whatever timely manner means?
Typically, I mean, it does vary on these international flight cases, but if the claims are started in a reasonable period, they have up to 2 years, but really the claim should be brought as soon as the families are up to it. And obviously at this stage, I would think this would be very difficult. But at some point, they're going to have to turn their attention to the financial consequences, and the sooner the claims are started, the sooner they will be concluded. In other flights, we've had final settlements in a year to 2 years, and I think that is a realistic goal in this case. However, if, for example, in Korean Airlines, which was the closest previous case where you had a state shooting down a civilian aircraft. That was sadly one that took longer, but the rules were different then, and Korean Airlines took a position which I very much doubt Ukraine Air International will in this case. They may, in which case they could drag it out longer, but I don't think they will.
Now, there were other flights that took off before the Ukrainian airliner did.
That's right, and after.
And after.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
But it doesn't make it right. You know, we see lots of human conduct, sadly, where it's common, but it doesn't make it right.
Will there be one legal firm that represents everyone? But that would be a class action, and you disagree with the class action.
Yeah, so. I don't think that's the route that should be followed. And even if there were class action, because of the magnitude of it, there may be more than one law firm involved. The reality is, as I said, that the advantages of class action, and there are some in some cases, if you have a lot of small claims, then class action is the only really way, practical way to proceed. But here where you have very large claims and where the big issue is not the common issue, but the individual issue, and by that I mean the common issue here would be liability, but that, even though it's a very important issue, is a relatively narrow one and I think will be resolved fairly quickly. The bigger issue here will be damages, and it is really important that these damages be assessed on an individual basis with care. Class actions allow for a summary assessment of damages, but that's, in my view, not in the interest, certainly not of most families, and I think they should have individual actions. They should proceed, and they should ensure that their claims will be assessed properly. For those who can sue in Canada, we deal with these claims very well in Canada. The court, our law and courts together in our profession should result in very fair in by law. And I should emphasize there's no compensation in law for grief, which is the biggest loss in these cases. But once one goes beyond grief on the economic losses and compensation for all the other things family members do for each other, Canadian courts and law require a careful assessment of that. And if the families are well represented, the evidence will be marshaled to allow a careful, detailed assessment. So I really don't think this is suitable for a class action.
All right.
And in that case, there will be several firms. Air India, we had, I think, 40, 50 law firms involved. What the court did in that case was there were only a small number who had a lot of experience, so the court appointed four individual lawyers to act on behalf of all of the families with respect to liability, and that did proceed, and those cases were settled. So there may be something similar, but I don't think so. I think you will see that most families will retain one of the firms who has, which have real experience in the area, and the claims should be handled well and efficiently, and I think realistically, you know, within the 2-year period, I think that's a very realistic time frame.
Okay. We will continue to follow this story, and I want to take this moment to thank you, Mr. Windsor, for taking the time to spend with us.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to help.
Rod Windsor is a partner with Blaney McMurtry.